Amen. You may be seated, and again, welcome to HBF. We're glad to see you. If you're joining us on Facebook, we're glad that you're with us on Facebook. We'd love to see you here real soon. And man, what a great, that was a great praise set, man. Praise the Lord. We appreciated that. Well, this is our fifth Sunday. It's our fabulous fifth Sunday. If you're wondering, what's that all about? Well, every fifth Sunday, we set aside time, we prepare our hearts as a church body to really just love one another. It's so important. God wants the church to be noted for love. Charity never fails. And so we're to edify one another in love. We heard some great things this morning at 9 o'clock as we all came together and heard witness of what God is doing right here in our local schools through the Good News Club, through Child Evangelism Fellowship, through Larry and Barb Boucher, and so also Mrs. Schleichhuber, who you missed a wonderful solo song this morning, and we'll have to bring that back out sometime. That was really good, but it was a great time, and Steve preached a great message to prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper. So, you know, after Jesus took the Lord, after he celebrated Passover, and of course himself being the Passover lamb, he resurrected on the third day after he died on the cross, and he got his disciples together and gave them a great commission, right? And so really our freedom from this bondage of sin and this Egypt, this world, right? We may be groaning for the kingdom to come, but in the meantime, it's our job to go ye therefore and teach all nations, isn't it? And so we're going to take the next part of our service time this morning before we take of the Lord's Supper and remember all of those things to hear from one of our missionaries. Brian and Tammy and Titus Calloway are here with us this morning. And I give them some love right now, man. We're glad that you guys are with us. You're our honored guests. And we had the opportunity to spend some time in April in Zambia visiting the Kafula Futa Mission, as well, of course, as Lusaka was our main trip to visit and be a part of a conference there. But we made time to go back up and circle around and actually see the Calloways in action in Kafula Futa. And that was really awesome, and see all the work that God is doing. And many of you may know that Maple City Baptist just returned a month or two ago from a wonderful conference there. It was outstanding. That literally thousands of people at the conference. It was tremendous. And so God's doing quite a bit and has been doing quite a lot through the Calloways for quite some time. And you've been able, if you've been around here very long, you've been able to actually watch Brian and Tammy receive the call and answer the call, go in the field, be faithful, see the benefit of that. It's been an incredible thing to just see your guys' faithfulness and your sacrifice. And I know it's also been a very difficult thing. And so these guys are an extension of us, right, as we pray for them, as we support them, as we encourage them. So it's our privilege to have them back and have Brian preach to us this morning. So, Brian, if you come on up, preach the word, brother. We're looking forward to everything you have.
Amen. So, Mabukushani. And you're like, what do I say now? I think Randy and Julie, you probably know what to say, right? So when I say Mabukushani, you say Nabukaweno. So Mabukushani, Nabukaweno. Amen. Good morning, and that's good morning to you. So thank you for having us here. It's quite a blessing to be here. You know, everything that your pastor had just shared about what's taking place is happening, and God is moving. And we've had the opportunity for the past 3 years to really see God moving on a foreign field. And I wish I had the time to take you through the entire process and what God took me through for the past 20 years, but we don't have time for that. And but I would like to say, I want to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support in any way, because, like I said, God is moving. I think at one time there were some people, and there's justification to what I'm about to say. Sometimes in ministry, there's things that happen, and I'm not pointing fingers or anything but at all, but there was a time when there's some that may have said they thought Ichabod was upon Kafula Futa, and which means the glory of the Lord has departed, and I just want to let you know that's not true. God is moving, and there's people getting saved, and people being discipled, and lives being changed as we think, or as we talk right now. So I just want to say thank you, and Pastor, I've got to say this every time I come here. Every time I come here, I got to say this, that your pastor, he's my grandpappy. He's my grandpappy. I have to say it every time. I think we're about the same age, but he's my grandpappy, because he discipled a guy who discipled a guy who discipled me. And, you know, every time we lead someone to Christ, every time there's fruit being born, and that fruit is remaining and making a difference in God's kingdom, that's not only being added to this church, but brother, it's being added to you too. And that's such a beautiful thing about God and his work. So what I'm going to do is, because I tend to, when I go to Kafulafuta, I say I'm not going to talk very long, and even the Zambians laugh at me, so because they know it's not going to happen, right? So what we're going to do is the message is going to take up the entire 45 minutes or so that we have, and I want to make sure and give time to the Lord for that. But what I want to do is I first want to start this message with a video. And it was a trailer of a movie that I had. The movie hasn't come out yet, but the trailer has. And the name of the movie is called 1917. And it's about a World War I situation that took place in World War I. And when I saw it, it really impacted my heart. And I've watched it over and over and over. And so we're going to start out this morning with that video. And then I think you'll understand through the message of why we're going to show the video. So I would like you to watch this first.
Yes, sir. Is he
alive? And with your help, I'd like to keep it that way. But they're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you don't, we will lose 1,600 men, your brother among them.
Okay, now there's a reason why I showed that to you. And now again, I'm not advocating go watch movies and all that. I'm just saying that this is a pretty powerful trailer. And if you listen to the message that the trailer is saying, I could not help but think as soon as I watched it, I couldn't think of taking that and put it in a spiritual context. I mean, it's very, very powerful. And so what we're going to do just real quickly is we're going to compare this man, these men who've been given this mission, who've been given this message, and how that translates over to us within the church. So the main characters of this World War I, they were soldiers, right? They're in a battle. They're in a war. Well, according to Scripture, we are soldiers. We're in a spiritual warfare. And we're not talking about the physical lives. We're talking about eternal spiritual lives that are at stake. The commander has obvious concern for human life. Well, don't we have a commander that's got some concern? He's not only concerned for human life, but he's concerned for spiritual life. He's a commander that delivered a message. He had a message that he had to give to some of his soldiers. We also are commanded to deliver a message. Mark 16:15 says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature." That's the message that we are commanded to go and do and to give. He had family members that were directly involved in the line of fire. There were people amongst the military that he did not know that were directly involved. You know, all of us sitting here today, we have family members who are involved right now. who are in the line of fire of the adversary. There are people in our neighborhoods. There are people in our workplaces that we don't even know, but yet there is compassion and love for this humanity. So there is a similarity there too. The soldier ran through the hail of bombs and gunfire to deliver the message. And we saw that happening. We also are to run through the hail and gunfire, those spiritual bombs and guns, to deliver the message. I mean, the Bible says that for our weapons of war, or wherefore, are not carnal, but mighty through the God to pulling down his strongholds. So we too have to, we're running through this battle, this life battle and war, and we're being attacked on the spiritual warfare with these bombs and with these bullets that are whizzing by us on a daily basis. So there's a comparison there. I think it's interesting too here, because if you saw the way it was looking, he was running one direction, everybody else was running the other direction. And so this soldier, he was not going to give up no matter the cost, whether it cost him his life. And we must not give up the cost. We must not give up because of the cost, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And we know the ultimate stake of what's going to take place here. If the soldier does not deliver the message, I think that's one of the biggest ones, the biggest lines that really affected me, because it says, if you fail, there's going to be a massacre. I want you to think about that. The same is given to us by our Lord and Savior, by our God, that if we fail, there's going to be a massacre. The massacre is already in effect, but if we fail, it's going to be even more in effect. The soldier in this trailer, he obeyed the command, but the question is are we going to obey the command? We have been commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission. This man was commissioned to fulfill a mission, and he had a choice. He could have said no, but he knew what was at stake. And I'm just here to tell you, church, that we have been commissioned. We have been commanded by God to go, because why? If we don't, if we fail, it's going to be a massacre. And you know what? I want you to understand, one day we're going to see that massacre with our very own eyes. We're going to see it. It's going to be brought before us at the great white throne judgment. But as the church, we don't have to add to it. We can actually make an effect and make a difference in the lives of many, many people if we just fulfill the command. I mean, I've watched this video so many times just because of the effect. It just reminds me that, and it goes through my head, Brian, if you fail, there's going to be a massacre. There's going to be a massacre. And that's really what I hope you grasp today, is that the importance of your responsibility within the mission and with the message that God has given you. And you may have already heard this before, but this is something that you have to take away with you, okay? You have to take this away with you. You are not going to be held accountable to the outcome. You're only going to be held accountable to your obedience, okay? And you may have already heard that. But it's a principle that God showed me over in Zambia when the bombs were coming down on top of us, when we were being attacked by the enemy, when there were some very dark times and we were questioning what we're doing. God, is this what you want us to do? Is this the direction we're supposed to go? When so many people are saying no and God's saying yes, sometimes if our minds and our hearts are not right, it can get a little bit iffy on what we're supposed to do. And so those bombs are coming down on us. And one day I was just standing there talking to my wife, standing in our home, and I said, "Hun, we're not going to be held accountable to the outcome. We're just going to be held accountable to our obedience." See, this man in the video, maybe he didn't make it. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know the outcome. But the thing is he was obedient because he knew what was at stake. So we also have to be with that mindset. We have to know what is at stake. And so today's message is on the message and on the mission. Because I want you to think about this. This is really what we're going to be talking about today, okay? The message without the mission is useless theology, okay? The message without the mission is useless theology. Let me see. Oh, I forgot. I'm doing the clicker. I've been away for a while, folks. You're going to have to give me. I haven't had a PowerPoint. What did I do with it over here in Zambia? I don't use PowerPoint. So let me. So I just want to get ready. So the message without the mission is useless theology. And the mission without the message is useless activity. So what I mean by that, if you have a message and you've been given a message, but you're keeping it to yourself, then the truth of that theology of what you've been given by God is useless. It's not doing anybody any good. And then you reverse that. The mission without the message is useless activity. You know, that's the way many places are. Churches, not just churches, but organizations. They're out doing a mission. They're out in the community. They're out making a humanitarian impact, but they're leaving the message back in the church. They're leaving the message within their Bibles. They're not taking it with them. So you know what that is? That's useless activity. Those are good for humanity. Yes, I agree. They are. There's nothing wrong with going out and helping and helping humanity. But in the end thereof, even if you go to a culture and you help them with their medical, or you help them with reading or literacy, and the economy does better because of your help, in the end thereof, when they die, if they take their last breath and they enter into hell, where's the use in that? Where's the purpose in that? And so I believe what we're seeing today is the importance of the message and of the mission. The message we saw was going to save lives, and the mission is what drove that message. The message is what drove that mission. They go hand in hand, and if we fail on both fronts, it's going to be tragic loss of life. And we have got to see that. And I know we hear about messages all the time when it comes to salvation and when it comes to missions, but I think the difference is that we oftentimes we hear it, and unfortunately when we walk out there, we get so caught up with what's taking place. So we had a conference, right? We had a conference back in August, and this is the theme of the conference. The theme of the conference in Zambia was observe to do it. Just observe to do what God has called you to do. And that was in, make sure here. Yeah, there we go. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. It says, what things soever command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. See, this is a strategy. The strategy that we have is in the Word of God. And he's told us right here in this verse, what things soever I command you, observe and do it. Don't add to, don't take away. See, and that's where we fall into problems. We tend to add to God's word, or we add to what God has called us to do rather than doing exactly what he's asked us to do. If this man we saw, he was given a direct command, and if he tried to add something to it, it could have compromised the mission. If he took away from that command, it could have compromised the mission. But see, God has given us a strategy, and we have to make sure that we're fulfilling the strategy that he has given us. And where we're going to see that strategy is what you saw up there today in Romans chapter 10. I want you to think about this. There are millions in hell right now that have more faith than most believers, only they can't do nothing about it. They're in hell right now, and they have more faith than a lot of the believers. There's a quote that I read years ago, and I did not put it up here, but it's by a man by the name of A.W. Tozer. And this is what he says. No man is better for knowing that God so loved the world of men that he gave his only begotten son to die for their redemption. In hell, there are millions who know this. Theological truth is useless until it is obeyed. You know, I mean, that is such a true statement. But it's such a sad, sad statement. Because these people are in hell, they believe. There's just nothing they can do about it. But God has given us an opportunity in order to make a difference in the lives of all those around us. Now, I'm going to use a phrase, I'm going to use a word here that might be used a lot. I don't know. I've been in Africa for 3 years, but it seems to be the word that's going around churches today. It's the word intentional. Is that used a lot here now? Intentional. But it's such a good word. And I'm sure in about 3 years or so, another word will come in and people will use that to build around. But these are the two things that we have got to be about is to be intentional with the message. We have to understand and know the message. This church, I know you know what the message is. I know we do, because I know the men here who teach and preach, who invest into you. They've given you a message, and the message is biblical, it's true, and it's that if a person does not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and place their faith and trust in the work that Jesus Christ did then they're going to spend eternity separated from God. And God's desire is that all come to repentance. That's the message. You've been given that message, and we need to be intentional with it. There's a and let me give you an example of intentional. All of you, I think, have met a man by the name of Lee Carter, right? Lee Carter is crazy evangelist guy, right? And Lee, if you ever hear this, I love you, buddy. But sometimes I don't like being around you, right? And here's why. I love him because I love him. He's a brother in Christ, and he's serious about God. And you know what? I love him because he challenges me. But I don't like being around him because he convicts me. His life is just nothing but conviction in my life. And let me give you an example of intentional. Here, you know, him and I have been going around and around for about 3 years now for what is an evangelist. He doesn't feel like he is one, but I believe he is one. And he just says, hey, look, I just want to share the gospel with people, you know, and people are responding to him. And so here's the thing, though. This is what separates Lee from most Christians. And here's what it is. When he leaves his door every day, his whole focus, he's looking for the next soul to lead to Christ. That's his intention. He's intentional. When he walks out, he's three things. These are three things that are very important in a Christian's life. You have to be available, you have to be flexible, and you have to be sensitive. And Lee is all of those things. You do all three of those things, that equals intention. Because he's available. God, use me. I know there's people dying and going to hell. He's sensitive because when he's driving down the road, all of a sudden the Lord, I was just with him down in Decatur, and I said, hey, how's your day? And he goes, oh, it's good. He goes, I led three people to Christ down by the railroad track. I'm like, how did you get down to the railroad track? He goes, I was just driving, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, turn here. So I went down there, and I led these guys to Christ. He's sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's flexible. He's willing to leave his day in order to go to God's day. Amen? And so with that, he's intentional. So what's different from him and most Christians is he's looking for it. See, and I want to be more intentional. He convicts me, and I'm so thankful for that. But then the second thing, we have to be willing to take some risks. We live in such a comfortable, comfortable nation. Everything we have, it's given to you. It's given to me. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not trying to make us feel bad for having things, but on the cliche saying, there's nothing wrong with having stuff as long as the stuff doesn't have you, right? Which is so true. I've been in Zambia with my family for 3 years, and we've seen poverty. And you can go right down Kansas City and see poverty. But we live in the midst of it for 3 years. And then I'll be honest with you, coming back here, I had a little bit of reverse culture shock. I really did. Just going into Walmart and just seeing the abundance, or in Price Chopper, and trying to figure out how to work the gas pump again because I forgot. You know, they don't have that over there. So the thing is we have so much. It's so easy to be right where you're at and be comfortable, but we have to start becoming risk takers. So with that, we have to make sure that the message that we have and the mission are lined up, because the mission without the message, you know what that is? That's useless activity. And the message without the mission, that's useless theology. So what we're going to look at right now is in Romans chapter 10. Please go there. Because in Romans 10, we have a beautiful passage here. The beginning of this passage, Paul is talking about his love and his care for the children of Israel. He knows he's not called to them. He's called to the Gentiles. But the neat thing about this passage is the whole thing comes down to his love for Israel. Then he gives you the process of how you accept Christ as your Savior. But then he shares with us that the salvation gift is for everyone, not just the Jew, but also the Gentile. And then what we're going to be in verse 13 through 15 is the mission that it takes in order to get the message to the people. And then when you go further down there, we're going to learn a little bit about how this mission and how this message was once given to Israel. But because of Israel's rejection, God turned to the Gentile, which in turn became the church. So let's look at this. Look at verse 14. It says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now this here is a passage. The quote is, you can also find it in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Talking about bringing the beautiful feet is bringing this message. So I think this is a good message today in the fact that God is putting us all together, because the next very next chapter is Isaiah 53, which you can find that passage in verse 16. Right here it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So the beautiful thing about this, if you connect it with Isaiah 52 and 53, this is the beautiful thing. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, you have the fact that a beautiful feat, and we'll talk about that, of the message is being brought forth, right? But then the neat thing is in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53 is the message. It is the gospel. It's the death. It's speaking of the prophetic death of our Messiah and what he gave up in order for us to have eternal life. That's the beautiful thing about this passage. He quotes Isaiah so much because he's trying to connect that this message was once given to Israel. They rejected, and now it's been given to you. This message that was once given to Israel has been rejected, and now it's been given to you. And so what we're going to see in here in this passage is we have to really quickly look at the message and the mission here. There's five parts, okay? There's five parts in this message. And if you look at this, let me go to the next one here. He starts with call upon, and then he says believe, then hear, then preach, then sent. He works backwards. Why does he work backwards instead of going forwards? Because in order to have the message go with the mission, it's got to start from the word sent, not call upon. Well, I believe that maybe one reason why God is allowing that is because he wants us to see the end result can be if the source of the result does its job. The end result is people calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. That's the end result. And we understand that the source is Jesus Christ. So he will never fail. He is the light of the world, and right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? Praise the Lord. But now we are the conduit. We are the church. We are who he has invested into to go out and bring this message. And he wants you to see the end result of this pattern, of this process. And the end result is people calling upon the Lord. So the first two parts, though, then we have to now go to the first two parts with sent and preach. And we have to go here because there's first two parts, to send and to preach. This is the part that's a responsibility of you, church. This is the part that is a responsibility of the leadership, right? Because in order to send somebody, that means the leadership must be active in equipping and educating and edifying the church. That means in order to send, this leadership must be active, and I have no doubt they are. They are active. They are the equippers to the church body. That's why God has given us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints and the edifying of the body of Christ. That is why they are here. That is why your leadership is here. So it begins with the leadership of the church. But then when it comes to the preaching, that's upon the body. And what I mean by that is because the pastor and the leadership, they can't go out and reach everybody. But you can. So now we're talking about, in order for the preaching to take place, this means that the church must be active in learning and in growing. The church's responsibility is to wake up, to show up, and to learn what you did not already know to fulfill the Great Commission. That's your responsibility. And it's easy to come and sit and listen and get a good message and some conviction and then go out and do nothing with it. That's easy. But in order to take the mission, you have to be intentional and you have to take some risks, right? So all five parts, and then you look at the other three parts. Well, that's the responsibility of the hearers, to hear, to believe, and to call upon. That's their responsibility. That's the responsibility of the Spirit of God working in and through the hearer that they might be converted and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, but the neat thing, you see all five of these parts come together in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All five of these come together, because faith only takes, if you hear the word of God, well, that takes someone to be sent. That takes a preacher. That takes people to be working together to be able to get the message and the mission out. That's our responsibility. And remember this, what we said earlier. You will not be held accountable for the outcome. You're only going to be held accountable for your obedience. So it all begins with this part here. That there's five parts that must come together in order to be able to see people to call upon. And I understand there's different methods. And what I mean by that, no, I don't think anybody's ever just walked down the road, never heard the name of Jesus, ever. Looks over and says, oh, that guy's doing a good work. He's helping somebody out. I think I'll accept Jesus Christ today. It doesn't work like that. Somebody has to go. Someone has to open their mouth and share what they've already learned within the church. You know, you have to. It's not going to happen just automatically. God has set up a process, and that process has now been turned over to you. So now as we look at this next one, the message and the mission, right? I wanted to look at that piece too, so you can make sure and understand your responsibility, but then also the responsibility of the hearer. So question, if you had a message, are you on mission? And if you're on mission, are you taking the message, just like what we talked about? They can't be separated. If they're separated, it's going to be very difficult to make an eternal difference, okay? So the message without the mission is useless theology. That should be what there, yes. So we need to be intentional with the message. Something done, this is what the word intentional means, okay? It means something done with design or purpose. Something that you have done premeditated. So it's something designed. You get up in the morning. You get on your knees and you pray. And you know what? With purpose, you're starting to build intention in your life. God, the first thing I want to think about is you. And you're building intention. God, I'm on my knees. Please lead me to somebody that needs to hear the name of Jesus Christ. I have the message. Now send me on mission. See, by the time, if you're like that, when you get up in the mornings, immediately when you go out, your mind's going to be right. But remember what's going to happen. The bombs are going to be hitting. The bullets are going to be whizzing by your head. And it's going to try to disrupt you from the mission. So be intentional. It's something done with design or purpose. So the intentional message is for everyone. You have to understand this. And we see this. And the reason why intentional, the message is for everyone. The message that we just spoke of, we're going to see that it's not just for the lost, but it's also for you. The passage is directed towards breaking down the walls of culture and prejudice. Look with me in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all of them that call upon him." Remember what I said at the beginning here. Paul's desire to see the Jewish people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, right? That's Paul's desire. He's so much so he's willing to give up his own salvation. And what he's trying to show Rome is that, hey, God, the God of the Jews is also the God of the Greeks. And there's only one way to get to heaven. So the message that we are taking to the world, it's a message that's going to break down those walls of culture and prejudice. We here know the message, but at the same time, we must see that the world is a place worth taking that message to. Sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes we don't see that it's worth taking to. I mean, just the other day, Tammy and I just pulled up. We're back here, and we're trying to figure out how to drive again and everything. And we pull up, and we thought we had to stop, and we didn't, right? And all of a sudden, this woman, because all we had to do was turn, and the woman stops at her stop sign, and we're waiting. And I look over at the woman, and she is cussing us. She is yelling. She is screaming at us. And I'm like, oh, Tammy, I think we're supposed to go this way. But the reason I say that is because if you just take that mentality, people right now are angry people. People are angry. I mean, I sat there, and I started thinking, Lord, what happened in her life to get her to this place to be so angry? What is it? You know? And I prayed for her and just said, maybe somebody can come along and encourage her. But here's the thing, even we as the church, when we see that, we get defensive. And rather than praying, rather than having compassion and grace, sometimes we get angry. And sometimes it's like, we probably can say some pretty bad things that we shouldn't. But we have got to see that this world is a place that's worth taking the message to. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing to take that message? We must stop trying to pick and choose who gets this message. It's for everybody. Jew, Greek, poor, rich, it doesn't matter. It's for everybody. You know, I'm just going to use, and I don't know if this is a proper thing to talk about. I mean, I'm going to talk about it because it's biblical. But I'm just going to use this as an example. Right now in this country, from what I see from the back in Zambia, there's a lot of turmoil, political and all that, right? But also there's an issue with homosexuality taking place, you know, and that is building back up. That's building back up more and more. And we have to understand, church, that homosexuality is taking place from the beginning of man, right? From the beginning of fall. It's always been there. But it's becoming more prevalent. But the reason I bring it up is because this is something that God has shown me. God's desire is not to make gay people straight. God's desire is not to make a drunk to be sober. God's desire is not to have a drug addict become clean. You know what God's desire is? His desire is that they become a child of God. That's God's desire. Because here's the neat thing. Here's the beautiful thing about God. I was once a drug addict. I was once an alcoholic. Because when I truly had an encounter with God, when I truly had an encounter with my Savior, it wasn't the fact that I had to get clean. It was the fact that I naturally became clean because I followed Him. See, that's what happens. It doesn't matter what sin it is. You know, people say, I was born gay. You know, I'm like, you know what? Kind of, yeah, we're all born sinners. We're all able to do anything, right? We're all able to fall into some type of sin. I just didn't fall into that. I fell into drugs and alcohol. But then I met the God who cleansed me from it, who saved me from it. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So see, when the person is sincere with a profession of faith in their life, they will naturally come out of that lifestyle. It's not going to be easy, but it can happen. So we have the neat thing about this is God has entrusted us with the message that can bring about that change. It's in you. You have it. It's in your hand. When you walk outside of here, when you see people who are struggling, I mean, don't get mad at them. Don't put them down. Don't condemn them. Why? Because they're already condemned. They don't need any more condemnation from the church. What they need is grace. They need love. They need to know that they matter. So we have a message that can do all of this. But it's up to the hearers to hear. They have to make that decision. But it's up to the equipped to take. Are you equipped? Have you put yourself in position to be equipped? And then you have to be intentional with the messages for you too. And we'll quickly go for this because of time, but this is a neat thing because the message is not just for the lost to get saved, it's for you as the church. Why? Because this passage right here says that if you take it, you're going to have some beautiful feet. You know, I guess I could take off my shoes and show you my feet. They're not too beautiful. But you know what? Every time I share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm not patting myself on my back. I'm just saying we have an open door. All I have to is people say, when I go meet people, hey, how are you? We're doing good. What have you been up to? Oh, we just got back from Africa. And then we just wait. You know, because the next question is, well, why did you go to Africa? Well, let me tell you why. And then I share the gospel. The woman who cut my hair, her name's Olivia, had the opportunity to share the gospel, give her a tract, give her a New Testament. Man, it's just, we have an open door. You have an open door too because you have a testimony. So when you take that testimony, when you take the word of God, you know what? God's delighting in you. He sees you as beautiful. He sees you as someone who's willing to get involved, to get your hands dirty, to take the message to the uttermost, or maybe even across the road, to make a difference in the life of some other people. You know, Israel had this opportunity, like I mentioned earlier. In Isaiah 52, he's talking about bringing a message. And that those people who bring that message have beautiful feet. And the very next chapter is the message of our Savior. That's a beautiful thing. They had that opportunity. But unfortunately, they kind of gave up that message. They gave up that opportunity. So now God has turned to you and I. He's turned to the church. He's turned to the Gentiles. And he wants you to have beautiful feet. So what I'm trying to say is taking the message will only make you beautiful in the sight of God. I mean, you're already cloaked. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're cloaked with the blood of Christ. He sees you as his son. But in our practical life, if you really want to be found beautiful in the eyes of God, take the gospel. Take it wherever you go. Jesus is worth it, right? So the message is for all. It's for the taker and the receiver. So the message without the mission is useless theology. The message does us no good when we keep it to ourselves and we're not taking it to somebody else. And then this last point here. The mission without the message is useless activity. The message that we have been given, it's about eternal change. If we're not giving the message of Jesus Christ while we are in our activities, then we might bring about change in our world, but we're not going to bring change eternally. In our daily activity, there's good things that we do. I see USAID over in Zambia, and they're bringing all kinds of medication. They're bringing different things to help the people, the economy-wise, and healthcare, and all this. And that's a beautiful thing. But the end thereof, when the people die without the message of the truth of the Word of God, they're still going to die and go to hell. And so we have to make sure that what we are about, that we are about our Father's business. That we're taking that message in the mission because we have to make a difference. We have to. So what we have to do here is we got to take risks. The mission is now ours. Israel was very active within the law. They really were. If you go look at when God brought the law into their all the way through the Old Testament, they were really active, yet they forgot the message and they forgot the mission. You know, many churches today and individuals are active, but they're not taking the message with them. Instead, Israel, now this is something that I learned, I thought was very interesting. Instead of Israel letting the law lead them to Christ, okay, they worshiped the law and rejected their Messiah. That the law was there to help bring them to their Messiah. But they were there, they were active in it, but they started worshiping the law rather than worshiping the Messiah. You see, they got things backwards. And in doing so, they rejected the world. If you have your Bible, real quickly, go to 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8, excuse me, this is where Solomon is dedicating the temple. And it's in verse 59 and 60. And he's dedicating the temple here. They've just built it. And he's praying unto the Lord. And this is what he says in verse 59. He says here, "And let these my words, wherewith I make supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of the servants, and the cause of the people, Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require." So he's praying, "God, please maintain our cause. Maintain it. You keep it. You know what maintenance is? You have to, something you have to deal with constantly so that way it's functioning properly. He's saying, maintain our cause. Well, what is the cause? Well, look at the next verse. Here's the cause. "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none other else." That's the cause. The cause that we are fighting for is that the entire world will know that there is a true living God and that there is no other God. That's our cause. And he's asking God, please maintain this in our lives. Please maintain this in our lives. And that's how we are. What is our cause? How we can condense that? This is how the church can condense it today. Our cause is this simple. It's to connect people with Jesus Christ. It's to connect people with Christ, whether by salvation or by sanctification and growing people up in the Lord, that's the cause. See, this was the responsibility of the nation of Israel. They had such a wonderful, wonderful responsibility. I think it's even over in Romans 3, it says, "What advantages is there of being a Jew then?" Well, the advantage was they were given the oracles of God. And they were supposed to take it to the world. But you know what they did? Here's what they did. They fell in love with the law more than they fell in love with the God of the law. That's what they did. They started worshiping the law rather than worshiping the Messiah, the God they were waiting for. And because of that, it was then taken from them and it was handed over to us. We don't have time, but in Romans chapter 18, or Romans chapter 10, verse 18 through 21, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about in this very passage that at first this was given. At first it was given to the Jew, but now because of their rejection, it's now given to us. And now we have to take the risks. Now we have to go out and we have to be active in the grace that God has given us and take on this mission, be active. take risks. We've got to take risks because it's our opportunity. I think I went a little fast. I think the last one was, I didn't have it. But we got to take risks because it's our opportunity. This is the opportunity that we have right now. And then the last one, the last point of this mission without the message is useless activity, is we've got to take risks. The mission is almost over. It's almost over, folks, church, family, brothers and sisters. The mission's almost over. There came a time in this man's life where the mission was over. I don't know whether it was death or life, if he saved him or not. But there was a time that the mission came to an end, and it's almost over for us. Right now, the very next chapter, Romans chapter 11, you know what you're getting into in Romans chapter 11? Paul starts talking about the restoration of Israel. Well, you know what's going to happen before the restoration of Israel? The church has got to be taken out of here. We have one shot at this. We have one opportunity. Soon we're going to hear the trump, and the church is going to be taken out. And we see in chapter 11, God's going to start dealing with the nation of Israel again. So this is an important time. God will start dealing with Israel, and the age of grace is going to be over. The time where we can just go share our faith is almost over, folks. So we have to take the opportunity, and we have to take the time that God has given us. This soldier that we saw up here that was running, he had one shot. That was it. If he didn't get the message to the people, 1,600 people were going to die. 1,600. But God is saying to you, you know what? If we don't take the message to the people, the massacre is going to be great. We have one chance. Overall, we know the end. There's victory. I don't know if you guys know this, but right now we're not fighting to a place of victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. It's like if you miss the Chiefs game tonight, right? Let's say this afternoon you miss a Chiefs game. You're going to miss it because of something. And you tell people, don't tell me, right? But then on your way home, they tell you the Chiefs win, I don't know, 36-34. That close of a game. So if you go watch that game live, you're scared every time they score. Oh, are we going to win? Are we going to lose? Are we going to win? Are we going to lose? Oh, when the Chiefs fumble, you don't know what's going to happen. But see, on your way home, someone already told you the Chiefs win. So when you go watch the game at home, you're going to see it from a different perspective. As soon as the ball is fumbled by the Chiefs, you're like, oh, then you're like, oh, wait, we win the game. You see? See, we have the Bible. We know how it's going to end. We know that if the devil gets upper hand over here because of something, we can say, you know what, I still know how it ends. We know how it ends corporately. But here's the thing. We don't know how it ends individually. Individually, people are either going to stand before the judgment or before the great white throne and give an account. And they're going to be judged according to their works. And if their works are not good enough, which they won't be, we're going to watch them cast headlong into fire. And I really believe that's the reason why, one reason why God says he's going to wipe every tear from our eye. I remember my old pastor shared that with me. He said, you wipe every tear from your eye. Why? Because when he was teaching, it wasn't a doctrine. He was just saying, I think God's going to wipe away our memory banks in some areas. He said, because how can you live eternally in joy for eternity knowing your loved ones are here in hell? You see, he's going to wipe away every tear. We know how that's going to end for some, but we should make it as least amount as possible. That's the message. That's the mission that we have. But for us, as the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to end individually for us too. And we're either going to stand before the Lord ashamed, or we're going to stand before the Lord, in joy, knowing what we've done, that we fought the good fight of faith. And so with that, we're going to end here. But I want you to think about this. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life." Okay? That's up there. "That he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." I want you to think about this. That man, he was running. He was in battle. The bombs were coming. I want you to think about this. When he was running to deliver the message, when he was running to deliver what the commander had given him, do you think while he was running, he was wondering if his grass was getting mowed back at home? You know, are the bills being paid? I wonder if my son got to soccer class. He's running. No, he's not entangled with the affairs of this world when you are in the midst of the battle. You see, because all those things become pieces of our lives that keep us from being focused on the mission. You know, right here, guys, we have a responsibility. We got to be intentional with the message. And we cannot be caught up with the affairs of this world because it's going to take our focus off. So may we be intentional with the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That is intentional. That's how we must live. And we must be willing to take risks. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received in the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. See, Paul was willing to take risks. He was willing to go to places that he'd never been to before. He was willing to become a martyr for Jesus Christ, you know? You know, doesn't ask you. I remember hearing this one time. It's easy to die for God. Anybody can die for God, but it's hard to live for him. And when you're living for him and you're saying no, you know what? You're still dying because you're saying no to the flesh. You're saying no to what your desires are and what this world is. So be willing to take risk. Put yourself in situations that's going to challenge you. Put yourself in situations where you can say, I love being around those people, but I don't like it. Because it's through those situations that God's going to use you to further the message and further the mission. So remember these things because you've got to be intentional and you've got to be willing to take risks. There's a lost and dying world, my friends. And you and I have the message that can change all of that. So my prayer for you right now as I speak and as we go to the Lord in prayer, that God's going to lay upon your heart one specific person right now, and that you will take the risk, no matter what it is, to go share that message with them. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. And wow, when I think about Isaiah chapter 53, I can't think of a better chapter to look at, Lord God, to think of when we go into the Lord's Supper. Lord, when we think about how you were bruised and beaten, your look, the facial features of our Savior was even, he was so beaten you couldn't even tell.